Hi, it's Mace, and this is the Medical Sales Guru Podcast. I am so glad that you're here. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy medical sales schedule to spend a little bit of time with me. I promise to make it worth your while by talking about things that are important to what you do every day. One of the things that really gets a lot of attention in community newspapers or even in your own world is when a doctor commits medical malpractice. Everybody talks about, they say, well, did you hear about Dr. Smith? He did the wrong operation, or he treated a patient and the outcome wasn't very good. The patient sued, the patient won. His reputation is tarnished. He's in a world of hurt. Malpractice happens. It happens to doctors. But guess what? You, as a medical sales representative, you can be guilty of malpractice as well. Now, you might think I'm talking about when you make a mistake and a patient is harmed, and certainly that can happen. And that's why a lot of medical sales representatives do carry errors and omission insurance or general liability insurance. If you don't have that, you might want to check it out. But believe it or not, that's not what I'm here to talk to you about. I'm talking about the kind of malpractice where you're not doing the full job. Think about that. Think about a doctor. Okay, a doctor, medical malpractice can result when they do the wrong thing, but a lot of times it happens when they miss something or they don't do all that they can do to give the patient the best result. Medical sales reps do this all the time. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. You know, I've mentioned on podcasts, I've mentioned in the articles that I post on my blog at medicalsalestraining.com, and also some of the articles I posted recently on LinkedIn. You could check out my articles on LinkedIn. There are several articles there, including one which has been viewed over 30,000 times. In a relatively small niche like medical sales, that's pretty impressive, I think. Maybe not, I don't know. But over 30,000 people have looked at it, or one person's looked at it 30,000 times. Whichever it is, I'm deeply honored and humbled by people who want to look at that. But one of the things that I've been talking about is how a lot of sales reps are reluctant to ask for the business. And there's various reasons for this. One of the reasons is they don't want to appear as pushy, because a pushy salesperson is not perceived very well in the world. You know this yourself. If you ever deal with pushy salespeople on the telephone, for example, what do? You hang up on them. No one wants to deal with a pushy salesperson. But what is the definition of a pushy salesperson? A pushy salesperson is one who is trying to get you to buy without having provided or validated any reasons why you would. It's like they're saying, buy this, and you're saying, why should I? And they're just saying, buy this. But you got to give me a reason. Buy it because it's the best. But that doesn't tell me anything. Just buy it. Buy it from me. You'll be happy if you buy it. Buy it. That's a pushy salesperson. Hopefully you're not a pushy salesperson. You won't last very long in healthcare if you are. And no one wants to be perceived as pushy because it just makes us cringe. I mean, we all cringe when we have to deal with the pushy salesperson. So what's the other reason people don't try to close? They don't ask for the business. They think it's because it's not necessary. Well, look, I just showed this product to a healthcare professional. She's a pretty smart person. She sees what this can do. She knows how it will help her patients and her practice. She's smart enough to make the decision and tell me if she wants to buy it. That's the attitude. A lot of people have that attitude. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Now let's put the shoe on the other foot here for a second. I want you to imagine that you're a patient. And let's say that you go to a doctor because you have this aggravating pain in your thumb. We'll just pick something. Your thumb. This pain in your thumb is killing you. You don't know what's causing it. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, we're going to have to run some tests. Let's see what we could figure out. And the doctor runs a test. They x-ray it. They send you to, for these neuroconduction studies and all kinds of elaborate evaluations. And you come back, and the doctor says, I know what your problem is. We figured out what what causes the pain in your thumb, and I know how to fix it. I have a pill that you could take. Thanks for coming by. If you want any more information, give me another call. Now, how would you feel? You'd probably say, what the? Are you kidding me? You know how to tell me how to fix it. How do I fix this? You have a pill? Give me the pill. You wouldn't settle for it. You'd say, what, do I have to beg for a solution? You know how to fix it? You want me to beg? How much confidence do you have in the solutions that you offer your customers? Because here's the thing. If you don't have a lot of confidence, if you don't believe that your product or service can absolutely make a difference in their lives and in their patients' lives, why the hell are you selling it? Because you need a job? Because that's what someone told you to do? Because someone said you'll get a commission if you sell this? You have to develop a level of belief and passion in your product such that nothing will deter you from positioning it properly and getting it into the hands of people who could do the most good with it. If you don't have that belief, then you need to find some other products to sell. That's the reality. Because if you have that kind of belief, when you know that you could affect a better outcome for one of your healthcare customers, you're not going to just show it to them and walk away. You're not going to say, hey, I've got the pill that could cure you. Give me a call if you're interested. Here's some information. You know they got the problem. Ask them if you could fix it for them. Isn't that what a doctor does? When you go to the doctor, if the doctor has a pill that'll make you better, say, I'll write you a prescription. Would you like to try it? Or a lot of times they'll just write you the prescription saying, this is what you need. Give it a try. Or I'll give you some samples to try. The doctor giving you samples is similar to you saying, would you like to evaluate the product? Would you like to do a case? It's the same thing. Now, what happens if the doctor doesn't offer you that opportunity and you don't get better? Let's say you get worse. What do they call that? They call it malpractice. It was an omission. It was the doctor not doing his job. When you do this as a sales professional, when you don't ask for the business when it's appropriate, when you don't take steps to motivate or inspire the customer to do what's best for himself, best for his practice, best for his patient, you are guilty of malpractice. Now, it's sales malpractice. And are the implications high for that? Is it expensive? It's tremendously high. Because what happens is not only won't the customer get the benefit, not only won't the patient get the benefit, you won't get paid. And your company that you represent isn't going to be too happy with you because you wouldn't be doing your job. You see, you really have an obligation to ask for the business when it's the right thing. Now, there might be times when you might feel like, well, you know, I'm so close to this doctor, I don't have to do this. Or what's even more disconcerting is that sales reps will prejudge what their customer thinks about a product. And they might not even show it to them. I was guilty of that when I was selling on a day-to-day basis. There was a product that my company made for removing bone cement from a femur during a revision surgery. And I had used it with many surgeons. It was awesome. But I was very careful about the surgeons I elected to use it with, because it was very technical to use this product. There were a lot of steps. If you left any of the steps off, it could actually make the situation worse, a lot worse. And a doctor who I was very good friends with, I mean, we used to socialize a lot. I mean, we knew each other well. I went to his wedding. He didn't like a lot of fiddle factor. In fact, he frequently turned his nose up at anything that seemed complicated or scary. This was scary. This was a scary product to use. So I never even showed him the product. I never did. And one day we went to the big orthopedic meeting, and he was walking through my company's exhibit. And I wasn't with him. And he came back and he says, hey, I got a bone to pick with you. You've got this product for removing cement from the femur. Why didn't you ever tell me about that? That would have saved me a lot of aggravation. That would have saved me from breaking some femurs if I would have had that. Why didn't you tell me? You're my friend. I count on you to tell me what's good for me and my patients. Why wouldn't you tell me about that? I didn't know what to say. I mean, I wasn't going to say to him, well, I didn't think you'd like it. I thought it would be too complicated. Actually, I think that is what I said to him. I don't remember exactly how I tried to weasel my way out of it. But he was very upset with me. And he did use it on one of his cases. And I did have to, you know, really walk him through it and stop him. And it got a little ugly at times. But at the end of the day, he had a great result and he liked the product. And the product, I mean, it sold for, it was over $1,000 per case, you know, so there was a nice commission paid on that. And the thing is, because of prejudging, because of the relationship, I thought I didn't have to show it to him. And there's even products along the same vein of thinking that you'll show it to the customers and you think, well, I don't have to close. You know, he knows that, you know, we're friends. If he ever wants it, he could just ask for it. Especially when it's a friend, especially when it's someone you care about. But even if it's not, you got to do your job. If it's appropriate to ask for the business, ask for the business. And by all means, don't prejudge how you think a customer is going to feel about a product or service that you sell. Let them make up their own minds. And if they're not interested, then you let it go. But if there is a level of interest, if there are buying signals, then by all means, ask for the business, ask for the evaluation. Warn them about the nuances of the product. Be very clear, very transparent about what could go wrong and how to avoid anything going wrong. But don't prejudge. Wow, I can't believe I told you all that. I share a lot of stuff here. But the reason I do that, number one, is to let you know that the information that I provide you, the advice that I give you, is because I made a lot of the mistakes. I'm trying to help you to avoid making the same mistake. So if you go out and you do what I did, where I'm trying to keep you from doing it, it's on you. It's not on me because I shared the information with you. Fair enough? Okay. So I hope that you will avoid committing medical sales malpractice. Medical sales malpractice, easy for you to say, maybe not so much for me. However you say it, however you pronounce it, try not to do it. It's that important. That's all I have for this week. Thanks for stopping by. Check out Medical Sales Academy at medicalsalesacademy.com. It is my online portal and support site for medical sales professionals. If there's any area of medical selling that you're struggling with, Medical Sales Academy may be the solution you're looking for. Just check it out. If you have any questions, feel free to email me, mace@medicalsalestraining.com. I'll be happy to answer any of your questions. I hope you have a great rest of the week. And when the weekend comes, I hope you get to spend time with people you really care about. But as you go through your medical sales career, don't forget that no matter what you do, the patient always comes first. Nothing is more important than the patient in what you do. This is Mace Hara for the Medical Sales Guru Podcast. Go out there and do some good, my friend. I will talk to you again soon. Bye for now.